I'm so excited to talk to you, Mr. David Adam Burns. First of all, let me congratulate you on Neon Town. That was an amazing song.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
But now I've got to ask you some silly questions, just to warm you up for the bigger questions I'm going to ask you later on in the interview, okay?
Get your popcorn ready. Let's do it.
Which is your favorite, plain or peanut M&Ms?
Probably just plain.
Rollerblades or roller skates?
I don't know if I could stand up on either at my age now, so let's just say neither.
All right. CD or vinyl?
Oh, man. I don't have a vinyl player, but I sure would love one, so I'm going to say vinyl, even though I feel like a hypocrite saying that.
And you are a songwriter, but do you like writing better or performing?
Oh, I like getting on stage and playing the songs, I think, probably better than I do writing. Writing them's hard work. Playing's easy.
So now we're going to move on to a medium difficulty question.
All right.
Besides music, what are the top three things you'd rather be doing?
Oh, man. To be honest with you, there isn't anything. This has always been my dream and all I want to do since I was 3 years old. So if I said anything besides music, I would be 100% lying to you. But if you just want me to give you things that I enjoy doing, I maybe wish I was good enough to actually still be an athlete. I was a sport athlete growing up there in high school. If it was duck season, I would be sitting in the duck woods right now. And if it was the middle of the summer, I'd probably be sitting in the middle of the lake somewhere. So we'll throw that in there.
All right. So sports, hunting, and fishing. Man, you are just a country song, aren't you?
I'm telling you, as stereotypical as it is.
So you left home and went to the bright lights in Nashville as a songwriter. Tell me a little bit about that experience.
Yeah, you're right. I was 19, and people say, were you scared? I'm like, I think I was too stupid and too eager to realize if I was scared. I kind of looked at it as like going off to college. But, I spent my first year there doing the whole Broadway thing and really just becoming a musician first. I got to sit on stage night after night with, the best of the best, guys that played with like Toby Keith and stuff like that. And so then comes in the publishing deal and the record deal. And next thing you know, I'm putting my focus on writing and I really got a chance to really learn the craft of songwriting. And, because of that record deal, I got to be in the room with a lot of guys I had no business being in the room with. So I was trying to be a sponge and learn as much as I could from those hit makers and, kind of just learn the business as I went. So, ultimately, the first record deal didn't work out, and there was a lot of downsides to the business of things I had to learn the hard way. But that next chapter was truly learning how the business side works and what you have to do as an artist and how to be an artist. And I look at it as 11 years of college I took before I finally moved and came to Texas to somewhere that actually appreciates real country music and let me be me. So it all worked out.
So if you could take any of those artists from Nashville. Well, you know what? Let's not even pigeonhole it that. If you could have any artist from any genre, from any time, I'm going to broaden it as broad as I can get it. Redo one of your songs. Which song, which artist, and why? I told you there would be mind-provoking, life-changing, altering questions in this interview. So.
Well, that's all right. I'm going to tell you now, my answer is going to be very cliche for somebody in Texas, but I ain't from Texas. I'm from Arkansas.
I won't hold that against you.
George Strait. So it would 100%, without a doubt, final answer, hit the buzzer, George Strait.
Which song?
Oh, man. Now, that's a different question there. She Only Wanted Flowers, if I had to be completely honest. That song's been kind of, as far as just me as a songwriter, probably the most important song of my entire career. And so to know somebody like George would sing that one, I think that would be probably about as big of an accomplishment as I could ever have.
That's a really good answer, but quite honestly, I think King George would sound really good singing your new single, Old School. Not that you don't sound great singing it. I love this song, man. This is going to be cliche, but I was like, oh, that's so cute, is what I thought when I first heard it. And then I listened to it again, and I realized, boys learn some secrets from somewhere.
Well, I got to give credit where credit's due. I wrote all the songs on this record except that one. And, my buddy Michael White, who I wrote Beer Bucket List with, we were going in the studio that week, and he had called me and said, hey, man, are you still looking for songs? I was like, well, I mean, if you got something that I need to hear, shoot it my way. And, you're right. To me, you know, at the time I was still living in Nashville. I didn't even know that I was going to try to come to Texas yet when I did this record. But growing up in Central Arkansas, you know, I was a very old generation raised kid. You know, my parents were older than everybody else my age. You know, I was a late in lifer. And so I was just raised different. And I remember just watching a lot of guys night after night around Nashville that I remember thinking to myself, if I was to act this way, treat a lady this way, or introduce my lady to in the ways that I've seen these guys do, I don't care if I'm 40 years old, my mom and dad would paint my back door red.
Right. So,
when I heard the song, I thought it called that out. I thought it called it out in a playful way. I thought it said it exactly. I don't know if I've ever heard a song that was written to the point that I literally thought, wow, that's exactly how I would have written it to a T. So it felt great. I love that I got pitched it, and man, it kind of became the dark horse, that record, of something that it went from not even knowing the song existed to, yep, that's my hit. Let's go with it, boys.
I like it. I like it a lot. They say that chivalry is dead, but not in Texas.
It ain't dead. You just got to find the good old boys still doing it and kick the ones that ain't to the curb, ladies. It's that simple.
So what's next for you?
Man, we're just out touring. We've been very, very fortunate that, you know, really since May when things kind of opened back up, you know, it's not been the most conventional. It's been, you know, having to do limited capacity or maybe some routing that was terrible, but we're just out promoting this record. You know, it's taken me almost 3 years to finally get this thing out between all the battles and label battles and stuff we've had to go through to do it. So it's my record now, nobody else's. We finally got it out, so we're just trying to make sure we get as many people to hear it as possible and kind of wrap up 2020 and gear up for 21. And of course, my brain never stops. Now that this is out, I'm already thinking, all right, we got to get back in the studio and start working on the next one. all the moves an artist has to make, I guess, per se.
David Adam Burns, thanks so much for spending some time with us. And if you ever get one of those unconventional routing that takes you through Paris, stop by the Coin Studios, sit down with me, and we'll dig a little deeper into your psyche. I'll ask you a few more psychological questions like Razorbacks or...
You know the answer to that one. I'll tell you right now, Woo Pig Suey, baby.